Let's turn to chapter 20 in Exodus, the first verse. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witnesses against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant 6 years, shall he serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or under the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. And if a man sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as the men servants do. If she please not her master who hath betrothed her to himself, then shall he let her be redeemed to sell her unto a strange nation. He shall have no power, seeing he hath dealt deceitfully with her. If he have betrothed her unto his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. If he take him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall he not diminish. And if he do not these three unto her, then shall she go out free without money. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And if men strive together and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keepeth his bed, if he rise again and walk abroad upon his staff, then shall he that smote him be quit. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time, and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. And if a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod, and he die under his hand, he shall be surely punished. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. And if a man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. And if he smite out his manservant's tooth, or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake. If an ox gore a man or a woman, that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. But if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him. Whether he have gold a son or have gold a daughter, according to this judgment shall it be done unto him. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. And if a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good, and give money unto the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his. And if one man's ox hurt another that he die, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it, and the dead ox also they shall divide. Or if it be known that the ox hath used to push in time past, and his owner hath not kept him in, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead shall be his own. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. If a man shall cause a field or vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed on another man's field, of the best of his own field, and of the best of his own vineyard, shall he make restitution. If fire break out and catch in thorns, so that the stacks of corn, or the standing corn, or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he hath put his hand unto his neighbor's goods. For all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of a lost thing, which another challenges to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass, or an ox, or a sheep, or any beast to keep, and it die, or be hurt, or driven away, no man seeing it, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he hath not put his hand unto his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for witness, and he shall not make good that which was torn. And if a man borrow aught of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. But if the owner thereof be with it, he shall not make it good. If it be a hired thing, it came for his hire. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed, and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Whosoever lieth with a beast shall be surely be put to death. He that sacrificeth unto any god save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cried all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword. And your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not beat to him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down. For that is his covering only, it is his raiment for his skin. Wherein shall he sleep? And it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious. Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the rule of thy people. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits, and of thy liquors, the firstborn of thy sons, shall thou give unto me. Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with its dam, and on the 8th day thou shalt give it me. And ye shall be holy men unto me. Neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beast in the field. Ye shall cast it to the dogs. Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak any cause to decline after many to rest judgment. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. Thou shalt not wrest the judgment of the poor in his cause. Keep thee from a false matter, And the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise, and perverteth the words of the righteous. Also thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. And 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat. And what they leave, the beast of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest. And thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son that thine ox, and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid, and the stranger may be refreshed. And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. 3 times shalt thou keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labor, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field, 3 times in the year, all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not seethe a kid in his mother's milk. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works. But thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and quite break down their images. And he shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. And the number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the rivers. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. Now, I decided that I wanted to read these few things. It reads on down just a little ways. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and by you, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship you afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning, and building an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel, and sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me in the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God and said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matter to do, let them come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I'd like to call to your attention one or two little things here. I've never read these things to you in a full measure. Now, you might wonder what this all has to do with as to read something like that. But many of you don't realize that this is the covenant that God made with all humanity. This is the covenant that he made with all living human beings throughout the world, throughout the ages. And it remained like this until the day that the New Testament came. And the New Testament, to our utter amazement, if we would consider it, you would find it to be exactly the same covenant that he gave here. But that this covenant he gave here, he gave in types and in symbols, that it is a symbolic approach of God to humanity, and that this approach was to Moses and to the human beings of the earth. Now, this might sound a little bit radical, but whether you believe it or not, this covenant remains until today. This covenant is still in effect. It has not changed, not one iota, not one jot and tittle of it has ever passed away. And it is commanded of the people everywhere, from the beginning of the world until the end of the world, as to the time that God gave this, they are expected to keep it, every jot and every tittle. We think of it as being given unto the Jews, but it was given unto mankind. And even though you hear people speak about grace and the wonderful covenant of the Lord Jesus, yet it is a true fact that if you do wrong, the sheriff comes out and picks you up. It is a true fact that if you do one of these things in breaking certain laws, that the law will pick you up and you are punished by the law exactly according to these writings. Right to the T. Because all of the laws of humanity comes from the laws of Moses. And today these are still in effect. The only thing is that, as Paul said, when it comes to actually honoring and obeying God in the covenant, Paul said, even to the Jews, said, none of you keep it. None of you keep it. Though they said they would keep it. And when Moses read these things, they said, all of these things we will keep. And there is not one thing in there that a man cannot keep. Everything that is written in there, it is possible for a man to keep it. This was proven when Jesus came. God could not give grace until every jot and every tittle of the law had been fulfilled. And when every jot and every tittle of the law was fulfilled by a human being, then it proved that God had not made a creature as Adam inferior to the extent that he had required something of Adam that Adam was not able to keep or fulfill. So Jesus, as a man, fulfilled every jot and tittle. He never used one divine act of God. He never used one divine act as to Godship to fulfill the law. Not one divine act. But even when he fulfilled the law, it was said that no flesh shall be justified by the law. No flesh, even to keep the law, required of Moses to keep it, required of the children of Israel to keep it, and then once they had kept the law, they still could not be justified by the law. That sounds strange, doesn't it? But anyway, this law was a law that God gave, and in giving this law, he knew that no man would ever keep this law. No man would ever keep it. Paul said, none of you keep it. He spoke of himself as being blameless touching the law. But he said to the others, said, none of you keep it. Now, this law that Paul spoke of, as you see, is not 10 commandments. Somebody said in the 10 commandments from God was, thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal. And that was the law. No, everything that I read to you here, he said, thou shalt do or thou shalt not do. All of these things was things that Moses received while he was up on the Mount of God, when the mountain shook, when the lightning flashed, when the thunder rolled and great smoke came up from Mount Sinai. You can go there and see the mountain where it happened. And so then, this great, great, mighty thing took place. And the people were so afraid until they backed off, way off from the mountain. Notice what he said here now. He said, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. But if you'll notice here, he also tells us in the scripture, it's included right here, but it isn't termed as I'm fixing to say it. Thou shalt choose none of the ways of the heathens. He said, and choose not the way of the heathen. And he tells us here, not to choose the way of the heathen, not to worship any of their gods. He said, now if you do this, he said, your cattle will not cast their young before their season. And you will have cattle that will multiply and you'll grow exceedingly rich, for the blessing of the Lord will be upon them. Now if you'll read in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, you'll find the curse. I read it to you before, that if you don't do what God said, then it brings out the curse. In the 28th chapter, it moves right on over to it as we go on over here. I'm not going to try to read that tonight. But here he tells us what we shall do and what we shall not do.
And he said, now if you do these things, I will move sickness out of your midst. I will move sickness out of your midst. Your wife shall not lose the fruit of your family. He said, this shall not happen, because the blessing of the Lord will see that that doesn't happen. Today, America and the nations of the world are destroying themselves by their foolishness. They dress like freaks. They dress like animals. My wife today stopped by to get my Gracie something to wear. Her birthday. And I looked and I saw the clothing that was hanging there. And I said, it looks like Halloween. Like a bunch of freaks. And I said, women, Betty, I said, they're like dogs. I said, they're like old dogs. Just look at them. A whole slew of young girls and young women and middle-aged women and aged women. I said, like a bunch of old dogs. Look so sloppy. Coming in and out with shorts and with different kind of I don't know what you call them. Really, I don't know the name for them. But they had all kind of forms of dressing. And they just looked like a bunch of old dogs. You know, the Bible speaks of the time when women will throw themselves away in such a way until seven women will beg for the name of one man that she might have her reproach taken away. And they've actually stooped to that place. They're in such a condition, they're lusting after one another. Here we're told in the Bible, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, and you're not to covet thy neighbor's husband, or you're not to covet anything that be of thy neighbor. Yet continually people are coveting. They're coveting one another. They're coveting the things of one another. They're stealing. They're cheating. They're swindling. And the women have gotten in such a state of mind in their thinking until they're like a bunch of old sluts. And like a bunch of old dogs are just here and there everywhere. Their minds are just like a slop hole for pigs. And you can tell it. You say, Brother Pike, how do you know this? All you got to do is look around. The Bible said the child is known by his doings. Look at what they're doing. Look at the way they're dressing. I was telling my wife today, coming back, flying on the plane, coming back through the terminal, I said, Betty, look at the long dresses. They're beginning to wear their dresses down to their ankles. And numbers and numbers of women you see with long dresses all the way down to their ankles. I said, you don't feel out of place anymore, do you? And numbers and multiplied numbers of people, that is women, are wearing their dresses maybe just a few inches from their ankles. They've gone back to the old-fashioned way. See, they have stripped themselves bare. They stripped themselves naked. They've made themselves a bunch of whores and prostitutes, and they're not fit to pick up in the big road. They used to have a little saying years ago, said, she ain't fit to pick up in the big road. And they're not fit to pick up. They're not fit to be called a human being, let alone a child of God. And now that they've just went down to the dogs and the pigs and like a bunch of sluts, now they say, oh my God, I'm sorry, I want to cover myself up and be a lady. See, and you can imagine how disgusting that is to God. What if you married a wife and that wife lived with the dogs and the pigs and she just done any old way, and of course that's what they're doing today. And she was just an old slut just here and there and everywhere. And after she had gone to the place to where a man wouldn't even spit on her, then she come back and she says, oh, my precious husband, I love you. I am so sorry. I would never do anything like that. And you know, that's the very thing that's happening today. There are even women at Bethlehem. There are women that are around Bethlehem, women here in this area, that has done everything as dirty and low down and filth as a pig. And their husband begging and pleading with them. And they went and done these things. And now they've come back and they said, oh, my dear one, I want my family. You know, I trust to God for his grace for those people. But they're dirty, they're filthy, they're scummy. And only God can wash them from their dirty, low-down filth. Oh, thou harlot, I preached the other night. The whole world has become a harlot. None good, no, not one. All of them have turned to their own way. And God hath laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. Paul said, you have the law and none of you keep it. The Jews, just as dirty and filthy as they can be. I go into their homeland and they're dirty and filthy. I went up to a rabbi and he was trying to sell me something in the Holy Land. And him just sloppy drunk. Pitiful. The priests love gifts, and gifts blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the cause of Christ or judgment. So then I told my wife, I said, it's just horrible. It's horrible. And then on the other hand, you see the men. The men's like a bunch of old wild hogs and wild dogs. Just running to and fro like an old wild dog. Just filthy, dirty, slimy. You can walk by them, they're just dirty and slimy, just as dirty as they can be. I walk by them and I can tell they're just filled with the slop of the world. They're like a mad dog with slop running out their mouth. You ever seen an old mad dog? Just running, wild, going everywhere. And when you walk by and you can feel something brush you. That old dirty, filthy, sloppy mind of theirs, you can feel it brush you as you go by. Men, I'm talking about men at Bethlehem. I'm talking about men in this area. I'm talking about men on the plane. I'm talking about men in the terminal. I'm talking about men everywhere you go. They're a bunch of sloppy old sluts. You know, whoremongers after money, bubbling in the beer. Filthy, dirty, covering it up, trying to with education and prestige and money. The whole world is a sloppy mess. And then you say, well, glory to God, praise God for the people of God. Praise God for the few little people of God. And that's true. To thank God for something clean and decent. And then you stop and you think and you say, well, Paul said, and some of you were fornicators and liars and cheats. And when you go through the church, you find that all of them was the same way. Dirty, filthy, low down, unbecoming. Not one good one among them. You think, my God, why did you ever give a law? There ain't nobody that can keep it. And as the Bible said, John said, I looked into heaven and there wasn't nothing there. And I looked into earth and there wasn't nothing there. And I looked under the earth and there wasn't nothing there. He said, and I wept like a little baby. He cried. Nothing good, nothing clean, nothing holy. The Bible said even the angels of God charged them with folly and cast them down to earth. Even the Bible said even his angels were unclean in his sight. So then, all of a sudden, the Bible said John looked and someone said, weep not, John, for there has been found just one, nobody else. Said there's only one, John, that has been found. And that's the Lamb. Folks, and that's what happens here. With this that I read to you, God finally found no one in the earth but himself. He could not find not one living human being from the beginning of his creation until the end of his creation. Moses couldn't do it. And he gave the law. Abraham couldn't do it. The father of the faithful. Elijah. None of those great men could do it. Paul couldn't do it. No one could do it. Brother Branham couldn't do it. Brother Pike couldn't do it. No one from the beginning of the creation unto the end did he find that could do it. And he decided the only way that he could do it is as the song that we wrote. He came down and he done it himself. He made himself a human body and he did it. And he fulfilled every jot and tittle of his requirement. And then he took a sacrifice, a human sacrifice, to do away with your dirty evil doings and mine. And then he said, everyone that calleth upon this name, said, I'm going to send my angel before you, and I'm going to put my name there. And he won't pardon your transgression, and I won't acquit the wicked. And he said, if you'll believe on him, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And so I'm going to put him there, and he's going to go before you. And said, as the angel of God goes before you, he said, don't you provoke him. You know, a lot of you really provoke the angel of God. And the Bible said that you are not to revile the gods. He said, don't revile the gods. You're not to revile the gods. He didn't say that you're not to revile God. He said, you're not to revile the gods. The word God here is in the plural. And it says, you are not to revile the gods. There are people in the earth that Jesus, the Lord, looks to as being gods in the earth. There are gods in the earth. You're not to come against these gods, he said. You're not to revile these gods. These are gods in the earth. The Lord put these gods in the earth. As I said the other day, there are pillars in the temple of God. There's a lot of pillars in the temple of God. Some of you here could have been great and mighty pillars in the temple of God, but you refused to. And there are pillars in the temple of God. There are those that are in the earth that pray, that fast, that give of their time, give of their substance. And these are those that are in the earth that upholds the kingdom of God. If it was not for these people, the kingdom of God could not be upheld in the earth. These are people that live holy, and these are people that live godly, and these are strong, mighty people that lay aside their human desire. They don't follow the things of the world. They're not interested in the things of the world or the folly and those things out there. And they stand as great and mighty powers to uphold the kingdom of God in the earth and to make sure that there is a testimony wherever that people may see, that people may hear, and that people may believe. These are great and mighty pillars. Solomon had many pillars in his temple. And the Bible speaks of returning in the last days, building up the fallen down house of David, which is the temple of Solomon. And there was what was called the great pillar Jacob and the great pillar Boaz, which represented the prophets, the two great prophets. So then he said, thou shalt not revile the gods. These great gods, these great leaders, these great powers, these great ordinations in the earth. God said, I've got them there, and thou shalt not revile them. You know, in the natural government out here, with senators and with governors, and even with sheriffs and different people, especially those that are higher up, like the governors and senators, you don't go around insulting those people. You don't insult dignitaries. You don't go into a governor's office and insult him. You'll wind up in prison. You don't go into a senator's office and insult him because he is a god in the earth. He is a pillar of the government, of the natural government. And you don't insult him. They're gods. They're great. They're mighty. They eat. They drink. They spend. They buy. They go where they want to. They do what they want to. You can't say anything about them. See, they'll have you put in jail before you hardly realize what happens. And yet, people of the world, they revile the gods that God has put in the earth. Those great leaders, great dignitaries that God has put in the earth, they revile them. They don't honor them. They strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Blind leaders of the blind. Jesus said, the blind leading the blind, all of them fall into the ditch. And the ditch, of course, is their old intellectual whorish mind, which is the educational side of life. It comes from the tree of knowledge. All of them fall into the ditch. All of them go the same way. The blind lead the blind. And the Bible said the god of this world, even Satan, has blinded their eyes that they cannot see when good cometh. They are children of darkness. They can't understand. They cannot comprehend. They cannot see. All of these are children of darkness. And they revile the gods. But God has in the earth, as it was Moses, he said, Aaron, I've made Moses God unto the people. And he said, I will bring saviors up upon the mount. These saviors shall deliver the people. So then we see that this law is still in effect. as pertaining to the first covenant, and there are great pillars there and great, great gods of this world. Gods, many, the Bible tells us, they're out there in this world. Those men uphold this government because it is Lucifer's government. The Bible said, and sin gets its strength by the law. And so then, everyone that has fallen from grace is still under this law. Everyone that is not born of God, that does not believe in Christ, these people that have never been born again, they're in this world. And those people are still under the law and under the penalty of the law. And the Bible said in the day of judgment, they will be judged as transgressors of the law, and they will be condemned to the chambers of despair or the lake of fire. But I'm thankful, because when God couldn't find anybody, He made Himself a human body and He came down into this world and He gave Himself sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. And God brought a human body, made a sacrifice, took the pains and sufferings that I ordinarily would have had to have taken, and that which you would have had to have taken. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in the form of God, the express image, the given image of God, came down into this world, died at Calvary, gave His life for you, gave His life for me, came down into this world, and today I'm free from all of these requirements. I'm free because the Bible said, and all of these commandments, all of these things, the Bible speaks of all of these writings, Jesus fulfilled every jot and every tittle of it. And then Jesus came into my heart. And Jesus in my heart is the hope of glory. And that which I would have had to have done by deed, Christ did it, knowing the weakness of the flesh. And Paul said, that which was ordained unto life, the way of my escape, I found to be unto death because of the weakness of my flesh. That is to say, the impurities of my flesh, or that is to say, Lucifer living within the flesh because of man's weakness. Then God, seeing that He could not fulfill those things because of the contrariness of Lucifer. And the Bible said the law was added because of transgression. It was not given to save man to begin with. No flesh shall be justified by the law, because it wasn't given for that purpose. The Bible said, for by the law came the knowledge of sin. And it was added because of transgression until the seed should come unto whom the promise was made. That is to say, the law was given that it might show up the impurities of our life, that it might let us know where we was transgressing and what we was transgressing, that all humanity may become guilty before God. All of the world should become guilty before God. That's why the law was given. And in this, God waited for you and I, because we are the seed, we are those of foreordination, we are those of the conception within the mind of God before the world ever was. We're sons of God, predestinated in Christ, in the mind of God. Before, way before Calvary, God brought this thing to pass. And then at Calvary, He opened it up, He rent the veil, He unlocked it. He moved back the smudge. And then the Bible said it was brought to light as to reveal the sons and daughters of God. And today the preacher is still preaching faith. And whosoever can believe, then God has dealt unto him the faith. And whosoever can believe, then the Bible teaches that they that were ordained unto eternal life believed. Whosoever can believe, then the Bible teaches, let him believe, because he is a son of God. She is a daughter of the Lord. Until the seed should come unto whom the promise was made. And I'm the seed, and you're the seed. Not that we were foreordained as the seed. Only Jesus as an individual was foreordained as the seed. But we were foreordained in Him. And the Bible said, made complete in Him through the foreknowledge of God. We were made the body of Christ by the foreknowledge of God. And we were ordained in Christ unto good works. And the Bible said we are God's workmanship in Christ. That is, we are what He wanted, and He made us to be that. He made us to be that by making the Lord Jesus the perfect image, the perfect God body, And then from that, he gave us his righteousness through Christ, which was his love, in that God created us. You know, it's reasonable to think that if God created me, that God will watch after me. Don't you think so? Now, it does not stand to reason that God should watch after you nor me if we're not going to let God watch after us. If we're not going to submit to God and we're not going to conform to God, then God shouldn't have to watch after us. We shouldn't be God's responsibility. If a teenager's at home and if he won't listen to mother and daddy, if he leaves, goes off in a foreign country, goes somewhere, they can't watch after him. Though they would like to, they don't know where he's at. See, but if a boy stays home and he tries to submit to daddy and mother, they are obligated to watch after him. If he has problems with the law, whatever, they ought to stand right in there with him. And if they don't, they're not much of a mother and daddy. So then God says to you and I, because we serve him, because we love him, because we honor him as sons and daughters, and God wants to be our righteousness. God wants to pay our price. God wants to give to us. God wants to bless us and help us. God wants to lead us. God wants to direct us. Why? Because we are his. And so then today he's my righteousness. He's my creator. He's my salvation. He's my righteousness. God is my righteousness. So then, having been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus through the foreknowledge of God by his own desire, today I stand victorious. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even my faith in what God did in my behalf. So the Bible said, you rejoice forevermore and you be strong, for I have overcome the world. That is, I've done it for you. So I see here all of these things. The Bible says, in the keeping of ordinances and all of these things that was marked up against us, Christ has moved them out of the way, taking the ordinances and nailing them to the cross. And he has completely moved these things out of the way that we might be filled with the Spirit of God and filled with the righteousness of God, filled with the life of God. You know, I don't know whether you observe things much or not. I do. I can't help it. It's my nature. But if you'll notice people are looking at one another. And as they look at one another, whether man, women, whoever it might be, they are searching for life. And they're trying their very best to get a hold of life. They're watching for life in every human being, and they're trying to get a hold of life. See, and if they see you at 30, they think you've got quite a bit of life. They see you at 20, they think you've got quite a bit of life. You get a little older, 40, they say, well, he's doing pretty good. 45, and they start watching you. You know, and if they see any deficiencies of your body as to the loss of hair, or maybe the skin tone, or whatever it might be, see, they don't see that bubbling life. And they start withdrawing, and they follow each other where there's life. See, life, what is it? It's devils and demons. They're looking for lust. They're looking for life. They're trying to get a hold of life. Devils and demons living in human bodies, wandering from place to place. Now let me say this. It's common for a girl to notice a boy to marry. It's common for a man to notice a woman to marry. But I'm speaking of beyond this. I'm speaking of beyond that, even with single girls and boys. Beyond this. See, so then the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and they're looking for life. They're looking for something that they can get a hold of. See, life is receding. Life is leaving the body. You've got a full endowment of life when you're born into the world. If you're not crippled or something happened to you, you know, like that, to where you're deformed. You've got a full endowment of life. And every day, farther down the trail you go, the more you lose that life. It's like drinking water and then you sweat it out on your journey. And you're losing your life. See, that life is leaving you. You're not aware of it, but it's leaving you. It's gone. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, one thing I don't understand. How is it that man dies? What causes man to die? It's a real simple thing. It isn't the aging of the body. It's like I told so many people, I said, that's not the way it is. And I was just talking to someone the other day, and they said they'd read somewhere where they had proven that the aging of the body was not what caused death. And on and on and on. I said, that's not what it is. See, it is an appointment. God said, today thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You are appointed unto death. Your forefather ate of the tree, and today you're his children, and in Adam all die because of the appointment. It is an appointment from God. But now, on the other hand, though it's an appointment, you know, there is still something that you and I need to understand. Just because God appointed us unto death, that doesn't necessarily mean that we die without a cause. The appointment unto death was because of something that had happened. See, if you go to the doctor, and the doctor looks at you, and the doctor says, you are going to die. How? Someone would go over, say, they would see Brother Taylor, and they'd say, Brother Taylor, you know, and they would tell Brother Taylor that they were going to die. And Brother Taylor would say, well, why do you say that? Oh, the doctor said, I'm going to die. No way around. Now, let me ask you a question. Because the doctor said that you was going to die, is it a true fact that you're going to die and there's no way around it just because the doctor said you're going to die? You know, that doesn't add up, does it? It doesn't matter if I have a dozen doctors tell you that you're going to die. There's got to be a reason why you're dying. People don't die just because the doctor says they're going to die. Doctors have said a lot of people was going to die, but they're still living. See, so just telling you that you're going to die, that's not sufficient as to say that's the cause of death. See, the doctor told you you was going to die because he found something wrong with you. He appointed you a death appointment because he is a doctor. He understands the medical world. He understands the world of chemistry. He's found a complication in your body. He's found cancer. He's found something that's terminal in your body. And he says, you are going to die. Isn't that right? You're going to die. So then what's the best thing to do? Just sit down and die? No, the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But see, that isn't the end of the story. The doctor could give a remedy. The doctor could diagnose the case, and if he could get you to conform to what he wants you to conform to, then he can give you a remedy, and he can save you from death. Doctors have done it numbers of times. There's a chemical reaction, there's some kind of disturbance, there's something that's causing the complication, and the doctor can write you out a prescription and do something for you and change your entire life, and maybe add years to your life. Isn't that right? See, so it is with God. Even though God has diagnosed our case, and God said you're worthy of death, you're unclean, none of you good, yet he also gave a prescription. And that prescription was that everyone that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath passed from death unto life and shall not come into condemnation. They pass from death unto life. Jesus said, my words are spirit, my words are life. And if you can hear my words and believe on him that sent me, you can pass from death unto life. So then the appointment unto death is if we do not do what God has commanded us to do. That the law was added because of transgression. It brought my sins before me. And sin gets its strength by those accusations, by the things that's been revealed to me to show my impurities. But I can look to God and I can see the prescription. Oh, wretched man that I am, Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, wretched man that I am, he said, who shall deliver me from the appointment unto death? He was saying. Who shall take this thing away? He said, I thank God that through the Lord Jesus Christ, what the law could not do, that it was weak to the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, and he has saved us who believes in the righteousness of the law. You know, we're all appointed unto death. It's like when I was over yonder, I heard something say, Jimmy Kirk has had a wreck. And it seemed like some of the loved ones was involved. And it's passed away. I couldn't get anything else out of it. And numbers of times he spoke to me about different ones, about you having a wreck. He spoke to me about me having a wreck. And I've had numbers of wrecks. Some of you have had wrecks. But see, We are appointed unto death. That is, we get carried away in the world. We get things of the world. We get interested in the world. And we don't have time for God. We're just too busy, you know. We've got to get money. We've got to have fame. We've got to have popularity. We've got to do the things of the world. And just about the time the devil gets us fed off of the things of the world and we leave out God, then God cuts us down like a tree. David said, I've seen the rich spreading himself like a green bay tree, and I've seen him cut down, and there was no remembrance of him whatsoever. The preacher will plead with you, and the preacher will talk with you, and the preacher will try to help you, and he'll reach out to do all that he can. He'll give his life, he'll give his time, he'll give his substance, so that he can help you, but you mock him, and you go your way and do your own thing. See, you don't walk with God, you don't honor God, you don't obey the preacher. You don't do the thing that God has told you to do, and the first news you know, like that, and you're gone. See, and the devil will keep enticing. He'll say, it's nothing but a little fox. It won't really hurt. Like the devil said to Eve, thou shalt not surely die. I know he said you're going to die. I said, but not surely. You understand what I'm saying? So then we see the greatness of God. We see his power. We see his might. We see his deliverance. We see the strictness. We see the writing of ordinances. We see the hand of death. It was said here over and over again. He said, and if you don't do this, he said, you're going to die. He said, if you don't do this, you'll be stoned to death. If you don't do this, you'll be killed. You shall surely be killed. You shall surely be put to death. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. Burning for burning. Wound for wound. He said, you shall surely be put to death. But, like John preached the other night, he preached hard, he preached strong. He said, go on to hell. He said, you're going to go to hell anyway. You want to go to hell. He said, I'm told you not to go to hell. Said, this ain't John Lane. Said, God has sent him. Said, God has come and speaking through John Lane, and he has sent John Lane here to try to help keep you out of hell. Said, but you're going to hell. Said, you're determined you're going to go to hell. And he began to name some stop signs. He had about four or five stop signs, he called it. He preached about the Bible and the saints and the Holy Ghost and a number of other things. He said, these are stop signs. Said, you overrun the stop signs. Said, you go on anyway. And he got excited. And he got what the world calls a little bit hard. Said, go on to hell. Said, you're determined to go anyway. See, that's the way the world is. That's the way people are. You tell them, and they're determined to do their thing. They're going to do their thing. They could care less about God and what God has said. And John came down hard on hypocrisy. He was preaching a message of repentance, and he was preaching about people that are religious hypocrites. Those that are in hypocrisy. And he got down on TV, and I don't know what all he come down on, but he come down hard on many things. See, God has been kind to us. God has opened our hearts. God has given us the right thing. God has made the way. God came down. Worked the thing out when no one else could be found. God came. And God has worked it out so that you can have a real, wholesome God life. And so that you can fulfill all of these handwritings of ordinances that are against you. Through Christ, by faith in the wonderful name of the lovely Son of God. But if you don't want that, that's all right. If you don't want to conform to that, that's all right. That's your business. If you're too busy to work for God, that's all right. It's like I was saying today, there's a man here tonight. I told somebody today, I said, I got to get me somebody else to take the place. I said, I'm not going to move them from their office. I said, I'm just going to let them go in their office. You know, it's like playing a game. I'm going to get me somebody that can work with me as it was with Moses and Joshua. He had somebody that ministered unto him. I said, I'm going to get me somebody that can work with me to help me with the things of God, and that's around when I need them, that's going to work with me and do something to help me win souls. And that's what I need, folks. Paul spoke of his women workers, great, mighty women workers. See, they too become gods in the earth. Revile not the gods. Don't find fault with the gods. Don't come against the gods. If God gives you a minister, if God gives you a great leader, if God gives you a great pillar, if God puts somebody in the midst of you that's got the power of leadership, somebody that's interested in your soul, that's trying to hire people and put them in the vineyard, then work with them. Don't work against them. Like I was telling Brother Atlee, I said, Brother Atlee, as a chief governor, you're supposed to go hire the people, put them in the vineyard. I said, and if you don't, you're sinning against God, because God is the one that said to do that. God is the one that said he would pay them. I said, he said for you to take the oversight, me to take the oversight. Whoever we are that God has called to the oversight, God said for you to take the oversight. And God said for you to hire them and put them in the vineyard. Said you find them standing idle in the marketplace. I will require of you to hire them and put them in my vineyard. And said, when I come, I will pay them. God said that. And another thing, as I say to many of you, you're supposed to pray. The Bible said, Samuel, I remember Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against God by not praying for the people. Thou shalt not revile the gods. And listen now, and I'm going to try to close. It's just going to exhort you a little bit. But anyway, I'm saying this to you. Something is wrong, people. Something is wrong. When you look around and see half of the church sick. You see the men sick. You see the women sick. You see the children sick. Something has got to be wrong when you see that. Because God said, if you serve me, I will move sickness out of the midst of you. There's no maybes about it, no buts about it. There's no figuring as to say, well, it's a different day. Maybe God didn't mean that, Brother Pike, or it doesn't work that way. Has nothing to do with it. God's word. The same to a thousand generations. He said, when you serve me and you do the things I tell you to do, I will move sickness out of the midst of you. And when sickness is in the midst of you, you're not serving God. You're not doing what God told you to do. So then, when we see this thing, we realize that something's wrong. Look at the church world. The entire world is sick. The hospitals is running over. There's problems, problems. Everywhere you go, there's problems. And yet the Lord said it wouldn't come nigh your dwelling. See, and God said, if you do these things, I will move sickness out of the midst of you. I will move sickness out of the midst of you. What is it, folks? What's wrong? What are you doing? What am I doing? What are we doing? See, what are we doing for God? We're too busy with our own things, too busy going out into the world, too busy doing what we want to do. We don't have time for God. You know, God blesses us, God gives to us, but we've got to eat, we've got to drink, we've got to ride, we've got to squander. We don't have any time for God. We don't give our minds to God. We don't give our time to God. We don't give our strength to God. See, what's wrong with us? That's why we're sick. Look at the world out there. Just like today, I looked and hundreds and millions of people everywhere. You can just look wherever you go. And what are they doing? They're killing themselves. Trying to show off their poor little old frail body. One's got a little more fat on his because he eat a little better, a little high on the hog, they say in the world. And another one, it looks a little better because he's got more bounce to the ounce, you know. He's pushing steel, as they call it, pumping steel. Or some woman, she's doing dances and push-ups, and she's doing twists and turns and joggling around a little bit, you know. Half-naked, running up down the street, calling it jogging. And she knows in her mind she ain't out there to jog, and the man knows he ain't out there to jog. He knows he's a devil running up and down the streets trying to get the attention of the people for lust. There wasn't nothing but jogging in it. He wouldn't even be out there. I see these people along the way, and some of them are so fat that they look like a big fat teddy bear. You know, they just can't stop eating, and they eat and they eat, and the devil makes them eat and eat, and then they go to try to jog it off. Jogging down the road. I believe that a person ought to use some kind of sense, you know, some kind of reason. You can't just eat and eat and eat and eat. It's like my wife was telling me about the brother-in-law. He's getting ready to retire. For years he's worked. Ready to retire. Been healthy, been strong. All of a sudden, about the time he gets ready to retire, they tell him that he's a diabetic. And they say that he eats ice cream, as the saying is, like it's going out of style. Said he'll just take a whole gob of ice cream and eat it. You know, you can't eat like a pig. You can't just, you know, just everything you see, you... Like, I better not call his name, but like a fella told me one time, he got overweight, just couldn't seem to get his weight down. He said, brother, young man too, fine looking fella. He said, Brother Pike, he said, I get near them things that's filled with candy, the counters, and I look at that stuff, and he said, I just want to break the glass and grab it and start eating. Can you imagine something like that? And like a woman not too long ago, she was trying to express herself. She said, I just love to eat. Can you imagine people like that? You know, it's good to eat. It's good to eat. The Bible said, blessed is the nation when their king eats for strength, not party. It's good to eat. It's good to have something to eat. But you know, when you go around in your, I guess this is proper to say this, the Bible says belly. When your belly's out like this and you're walking around, you know, and you're still looking for something to drink and still looking for something to eat, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. And I'm not saying anything toward motherhood now. That's a very sacred thing. I'm talking about eating. Just eat and drink until you become so fat, you're just like a big old fattening hog. That's the way the world is, eating and drinking. The Bible said marrying and giving in marriage. And their bodies is just going to pot, as the world said. They're losing their strength. They're losing their health. They're dying and still trying to show off that old stinky body. That's right. I'm talking about young women. I'm not talking about old women. I'm talking about young women walking around with their old stinky body. They're rotten on the inside. Still walking around trying to show that little old stinky body off. That's horrible, isn't it? I hear people a lot of times say, that old woman must be 70 years old running around like that. I don't see no difference in her running around at 70 than you at 17. As a matter of fact, I think if you know, you kind of balance the thing out, the whole thing would be better off. She ain't going to draw too much attention. You others is one that causes the problems. Even though she needs some clothes because she needs some good sense. That's what she needs. You know, it's not a matter of her being in a condition to where she's going to cause lust. It's a matter of her being in a condition that she just ain't got good sense. That's what's wrong with her and him. But anyway, I'm not here to criticize and tell you who's got good sense and who hasn't. The Bible said all them that are born of God have good sense. You know, they got a good understanding. So all of you that have your deficiency, all you got to do is come to this thing called God and that'll straighten it out. You don't need a psychiatrist. You don't need a psychiatrist. Like I heard today, some woman told a man, said, I need to go to the psychiatrist. Said, you need to go to psychiatrist with me. She said, I don't want to go to no psychiatrist. I don't need to go to no psychiatrist. So that's where the world is. They're out there with the psychiatric treatments and the psychiatric leader with all of his psychiatric followers winds up in a psychiatric place after a while. They got a place for those folks. You know, isn't it? That is, you know, I hardly ever use the word stupid. I used it the other night. And this is not speaking of anybody. This is speaking of a condition. But it's a stupid thing for a person to go to some psychiatrist and sit there and let him in his lame brain sort of a way evaluate and sit there and say, do you feel like killing somebody? No. You don't feel that way? No, what do you think about committing suicide? Well, I didn't give that too much thought. Well, do you feel like somebody's going to kill you? No. Well, I guess you must be all right. You know, that'd be $10. Can you imagine such a stupid thing? Folks, forgive me for using that term because I don't mean that wrong. I don't mean that against people. But I don't know of anything that's more stupid that I've ever heard of in my life and traveling around than what they call a psychiatrist. That's about the most stupid thing I ever heard of. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? Now, I want you to understand that I don't condone ignorance. And if some man has become a psychiatrist out there and he studied and tried to evaluate properly to try to help people and help them find their balance in that people don't have God and don't know any better, I've got a respect for that fellow if he's really out there trying to help them. But just this kind of office over here, they've got an office of this and they've got an office of that, and they got in Washington, they got another office over an office that's over an office that's over an office and over an office, And like I said, a lot of times they've got 15 offices where they need one office, and every office that's been set up has been set up over another office so that they could get out of doing the work that was appointed unto them. They appoint somebody to do the work so they can draw the salary. And then they have to appoint somebody else to do the work so they can get the salary. And by the time that you get through, you got 15 people in one office that's robbing the people. You know, and the people has just got in such a gullible way, in such a frame of mind, until they don't have any reasoning, they don't have any sense of balance. And you can say that you are a psychiatrist, or you're a counselor, or you're Sister So-and-so that reads the palms, or whatever. It don't make no difference. You can put your title up, whatever it is, if you can give them a soda pill or something. You know, you got a customer. I tell you what, it is one of the most disgusting things in the sight of God. People ain't got enough faith to go to the store and back. They're going crazy. They're losing their mind. They don't even have enough confidence in themselves. They have lost their self-confidence. They've lost all of their ability. They don't even have enough confidence in their self to believe that they can keep from dashing their baby's brains out against the wall. Oh, Brother Pike, you must be crazy. Now, I'm telling you the truth. They actually get in a nervous frenzy, mothers, saying, Oh, I hear it. Where's he at? Oh, I hear it. I'm going to have to dash his brains out on me. I can't stop myself. Do you realize how stupid and crazy that is? And there ain't a thing in the world wrong with you. Not a thing wrong with you. Somebody said, it's my nerves. It ain't your nerves. It's the devil. You've actually let the devil talk to you until he's took all of your faith away, all of your stability away, all of your strength to resist the devil. It's gone. And the devil says, turn up the jug and drink. You can't help it. Like a boy. This boy, I don't guess he's 29. I don't know how old he is. A young fellow. Stood down there the other night. He said, I'm an alcoholic. An alcoholic? Well, he ain't hardly out of his diapers. What does he mean? He's an alcoholic. A baby in his diapers standing talking about being an alcoholic. You know what it is? That's not an alcoholic. That's somebody that's lost self-confidence because they won't listen to God. And they won't listen to the preacher. And they won't try to understand. They don't have any faith, any believing ability, any stability in life. Folks, that's bad, but that's where the world's got. And they get in that kind of condition, they'll say, well, I'll go to town and I'll give him $10 and the doctor, he'll help me. And the doctor says, yes, I think you can make it another week. It'll be an extra 10. That's about the way it goes. Now, he don't say it like that. He says, if you'll give me the extra 10, I believe you can make it till you get back next week. And he gives them a sugar pill and on there. Do you believe that people are in that kind of condition? That's exactly where they're at. Somebody said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm talking about you and your family. You're the very ones I'm talking about, you and your family. You say, well, Brother Pike, I think it sounds foolish myself what you're saying. I do too. That's why I'm telling you. I think it sounds foolish. When people get in that kind of condition, they're in that kind of condition because they left off with Jesus. They've left off with salvation. They've left off with good understanding. They've left off with the Word of God. They've lost their faith. They've made faith shipwreck. And they've got to where they can't even hold themselves together to be a mother. And folks, this is bad. But it's like the girl the other day that got her for murder. She killed her mother and her daddy, as far as we know. And there are people that have actually taken their little babies and dashed their brains out against the walls. And they said, why did you do it? He said, we don't know why we did it. Well, we loved our little children. We wouldn't have done it for nothing. Sane, sober, wasn't insane. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, well, bless God, it won't ever happen to me, Brother Pike. I'll tell you what, as sure as you breathe your breath, it'll happen to you. Have you ever had them things to happen to you, Brother Pike? Many times. Many times. There's peddlers that knock on your door with a regularity. One day it's oranges and one day it's apples and one day it's something else. Oh, they used to do it with a regularity. Not too many of them around now in your community. You know, you get most of it from the store now. They peddle it to you up there. But this is the way the world is. What are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? The law gone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be saved. Follow the Lord. Let him give you some instructions.
Praise God. Everybody ought to be good and sweaty by now.
You know, after you get this far along, they don't care. Somebody says, wish you stop, wish you stop, wish you stop. And after a while, they're just pouring with water and they're feeling better. I said, I don't care if he goes on, man. It'll make the difference.
I think about it got you all to the point where it don't make no difference, so we can talk a while then.
I thank the Lord for you, and I praise God for this as I walk around through the world. And I see all of these things. Paul said, bear with me a little bit in my folly, trying to get my point over here. I see all of these things, people. And sometimes I speak as a fool to try to get these things over to you. Not that I am a fool. I know what I'm speaking of. But these things in the world, I see it all around everywhere I go. And I say, Lord, I thank you for the few people that's trying to do right. I went over to the church over in Mississippi. And I sat there, and my wife, she said this too. She may not tell you, but she said it was just shocking to her. Here are these people that's supposed to be God people. Jesus said, teachers, and them sitting there half scared to death as the man preaches a message of repentance and running to the altar with the little old children because they ain't making no effort to live right, no effort to understand God, no effort to do nothing, and they're just completely ignorant of the things of God. And here the rapture's ready to take place, as you call it. The translation is ready to take place. And some of you haven't even got out of your diapers. And the Bible said, woe unto them that give sucking that day. I'm not speaking of the little babies. There are cases where people are afflicted and they wear diapers when they're 20 and 30 years old. Some of you have become spiritually afflicted. You've played around with the devil and you've become spiritually afflicted. Some of you are grown-ups and you're still doing the things of a little old child, running around. You know, when I was a little boy, and I am going to close here. I was a little boy. Christmas meant one thing to me, and that was to buckle my two guns on and get my guns. You know, I was just big enough, and I was big enough to have a little pop gun that I could break open and stick the stoppers in the end of it. You know, but folks, has it ever occurred to you that you need to put up your pop gun? Has it ever occurred to you that you need to do that? It's about time that you took off your pop guns and put your little double barrel up somewhere, you know, and laid it over there and quit playing games with God and the things of the world, going around like the children of the world, doing the things of the world, and then talking about being a Christian and talking about loving God, talking about being grown up, talking about being a leader. Listen to me now as I try to close. Some of you think that you are a leader. You get all upset at Brother Pike because Brother Pike just doesn't run up and say, God, you've given me a leader. Brother, do this and brother, do this. And brother, you take this 10 and brother, you take this 5. And you're so sure that I'm all mixed up. And you grumble and you pout and you puff. And yet you get your pump gun and your pump gun. You run around and you play cowboys, we say. And then you have a temper and you bop each other in the nose, or you want to bop them in the nose. And you have your spree and you go out and you get you a big business, you call it. You're going to make money and you just give all of your day to thinking you're something big. You know you're making money. And then you think that I'm supposed to accept you as leaders. And you don't understand why I can't see your great talent and your great ability. Some of you run around from one newspaper to another, from one magazine to another, from one frolic to another. All you're interested in is riding and buying and seeing and eating and drinking, and yet you're a great leader, you're a great pillar. Well, folks, listen. All of you that's listening to me, I hope you can give the more earnest heed to what I'm saying. You're not even out of your diapers. When it comes to the things of God, you're not even out of your diapers. I'm telling you the truth, so help me God. The things of God are so great and mighty that you've not even got out of your diapers. And you're talking about leaders. No wonder the Bible said if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. You know, I can understand babies. Jesus said, feed my lambs, and we're supposed to do that. But you folks that's choking to death off of businesses and money and prestige and popularity and playing golf and hunting and fishing and drinking and eating and going around to do the things of the world, fighting and bopping each other in the nose and all upset over nothing while you haven't even got out of your diapers. Bless God, I'll get you, Brother Pike. Well, just a few more minutes and it'll be getting time because I'm fixing to close anyway. I love the Lord, and that's why I tell you the truth. Let's all stand together. I said, bless God, if you don't quit preaching like that, I'm going to quit coming here. I've been trying to get that devil to leave for a long time. If I keep on, he's bound to do it. I have to hold on to my audience and my people if they'll let the devil go. But you remember, Jesus numbered Peter with the devil. You say, well, Brother Pike, do you believe it's the devil that wants to eat and drink? Sure is. If you eat beyond that that is normal, just want to eat and drink, you got a physical something wrong in your body somewhere. Something that's out of order somewhere because God didn't make man like that. And you got a bodily affliction or you got a devil hold of you. And even the affliction the devil causes that. Because God said, I'll move sickness out of the midst of it. If you got a temper and every time something goes wrong, and especially over money, or some little frivolous thing, you're ready to box your wife's ears down or jump on somebody or spew like a Roman candle, you got a devil or there's something wrong with you somewhere. You got a mental block or something is wrong with you. God didn't make man like that. If you just got to have a gun and be in the woods and hunt and hunt and hunt, you got a devil. There's something wrong with you. Or you're afflicted in your mind. You're mixed up. There's something wrong with you. You can eat normal, and there's nothing wrong with you. And you can drink normal. There's nothing wrong with you. And you can enjoy it. Anything beyond temperance is a devil. It don't matter what it is. If you just got to make money and you got to have 1,000 and another 1,000 and a builder and another builder, you got to have one project and another project, and those things aren't for God. You got a devil, that's what's wrong with you. If you got to just work late at the office and work late at the office and work late at your business and you can't come to the house of God and you can't get a little time off and you just got to be stuck in books like a bookworm, there's a devil inside of you. There's something wrong with you. You're supposed to lay aside your job and seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Anybody with any kind of understanding that stupid don't need a psychiatrist to tell them that. Have you ever been to a psychiatrist that told you to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? I don't think you have. If you have, you tell him he's a great fellow. I'd like to meet him. I ain't never heard of one. If they know the truth, then why don't they do that? Why don't you go to the psychiatrist and say, I need to talk with you today? And he says, all right, it'll be $10. Say, oh yes, here's your $10. Now what I'd like to tell you is that you need to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and get your mind straightened out and get your life straightened out, and then God will make a real counselor out of you and you can help the folks. So you need to tell them. You need to tell them. I never will forget this, I don't guess. You remember the man, the little story said it really happened, the man who went down to see the psychiatrist and he told him to go down and see the clown. You remember that? So the psychiatrist said, what you need to do is forget your worries, go down to the little sideshow, see the clown and enjoy everything, and that will solve your problem. And he said, sir, I am the clown. Now, I ain't got but one thing to say. If that's the best you can do, then you might as well confess to him that you're the clown. You might as well let him know that that's what you are. If that's the only understanding you got, you need to just say, sir, I'm the clown. So, when you hunt for a living, a lot of people fish. They go fishing, they catch thousands of fish. They fish for a living. Some of them wish they could get out of it. Hard work. Peter fished for a living. The Lord didn't condemn them. And the same way with hunting.
Esau hunted.
Others hunted. Brother Branham's hunted. You know, it's one thing to go hunting. It's another thing to be possessed with demons and devils and you can't get out of the woods. Or it's another thing to have an obsession of hunting. That's all you've got on your mind is hunt and kill. Hunt and kill. You don't need it. You don't want it. You could care less about it, but you just got to pull the trigger. You got to kill something. There's something in you that makes you want to kill. You want to kill that animal. There's something that gives you satisfaction when you kill the animal. Now see, that's a devil. That's a devil. When a man will lay aside the things of God to go hunting, he's got a devil. And it'll show up sooner or later. And it'll probably cost him his life. Or his loved ones or something bad will happen. Because sooner or later, you give place to a devil. When the Bible tells you not to give place to a devil, then you're going to lose your life. You're going to lose your loved one. If you're somebody that's just got to eat and drink, fuss with the husband. If you don't bring steak, fuss with the wife because she didn't fix this. Got to ride to the cafe, ride over here, just got to eat like a pig. I told my wife, you know, a number of times we'd be eating. And I said, Betty, I said, my lands. I said, you know, food becomes unclean to me. I said, it becomes like a stink in a garbage can, so to speak. I said, some people just pack it in their bellies, just everything they can get to eat. They don't have no stopping sense. They just eat. You know, like a person's house I saw one time. I saw it in a vision. I went into the kitchen and dung was in the kitchen. I went into the restroom and dung. Everywhere dung was. Dung was in the living room. Dung was on the table. Just heaps of dung everywhere. I thought, dear God, what kind of thing is this? This is the worst mess I ever been in my life. And you know what the Lord let me know? That those individuals that occupied that home was eating themselves to death. They were just one big bag of dung. Well, that's what it is when you eat. That's all it is. And some people spiritually that. Paul said, I count all that learning is dung. Some people are a bookworm. All they ever do is learn to become a bag of dung. I'm just telling you like it is, folks. I'm just telling you the truth. You know this is the truth. Somebody said, I wish you'd preach something else, Brother Pike. You just hurt my feelings. I tell you what, if you're guilty of these things, you need your feelings hurt because that's a devil and you need to get rid of it. Or the first news you know, you won't be around. That thing will be killed you. That's why there's hundreds and thousands and millions of people that are killed and dying now because you don't like to retain the truth in your knowledge. The Bible said you don't like the truth. You don't want the truth. And God will turn you over to reprobate minds, send you strong delusions, cause you to believe a lie, and let you be damned because you don't want these things. You know, it's one thing to be hungry and hunt. It's one thing to go out and try to kill something, to have a little something to eat, or fish, have a little something to eat. It's another thing to have an obsession. It's one thing to go to the cafe because it's time to eat and because you need a meal and you don't feel like fixing it at home. It's another thing to get at this cafe and stop at the next and stop at the next and stop at the candy bar and stop at this. And sometimes I stop. I want a little bite of candy. I want a Coca-Cola or something. Or I want to eat something. And sometimes I eat a little more maybe than I ought to eat. Most of us do. But I try my best to think and I say, oh Lord, help me. Oh God, don't let me get caught away with a devil. All right, you've been a good audience. We're going to sing a chorus or two and let you go. See, now you thought it was so hot you couldn't bear it. You didn't know what you were going to do. 15 minutes in the church and you'd probably be just exhausted. Now here you've been a long time in the church and everything's fine. You're feeling better all the time. Let's sing a little chorus together. Remember what I said when we first started? You don't own nothing except in your mind. That's all you own. Everything you got is in your mind. And one day you're going to leave it. It's going to leave you. And it's all in your mind. It's all it is. And when death calls, as I said before, your automobile, your house, all of your goods will be in the same place. You know, they'll still belong to you as far as you would be concerned if you was here with a concern or to where you could be concerned. But when death strikes you, life is gone. And all of those things, Solomon said, you may leave to a fool because it wasn't anything to start with except in your mind. That's all. That's the only wealth you've got. but in serving God with the mind and being filled with the Spirit of God and the things of God, folks, this is what we need. This is what we need. That I serve God with my mind, Paul said, that would be your treasure. You'll have that on the inside of your mind, on the inside of your heart, and that's eternal. All right, let's sing together, can we?
To be like Jesus, just to be like Jesus, on this earth I long, just to be like Him, all through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like Him. From Bethlehem's manger came forth a stranger, on earth I long just to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like, sing it with me now, to be like Jesus, just to be like Jesus, on the earth I long, just to be like Him, all through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like, sing it again, Jesus, just to be like Jesus, on earth alone, just to be like Him, all through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like. Can you sing it just one more time? Think about the words now. To be like Jesus, just to be like Jesus, on this earth I long, just to be like Him, all through life's journey, from earth glory, I only ask just to be like Him.
Do you really want to be like Jesus? You really stop and think, you know, that I really like to be like Jesus. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be like Jesus? I want you to lift your hands up with me and close your eyes. I trust that I haven't held you too long tonight. I know it's hot. It's uncomfortable. And Brother Pike certainly doesn't mean to inconvenience you. And when I say these things, I'm not trying to be comical. I'm certainly not trying to be Lord over God's heritage. Nor am I trying to be foolish. I'm only trying my best to be congenial, in a way that you can receive it, that it will help you, that you will understand. Because, folks, you need help. And you can resent it. You can find fault with it. You can say no. You can cast it out. The Bible said, give the more earnest heed to the things you've heard, and take heed how that you hear them, lest you forget them, lest you let them slip. So then when I talk to you about these things, it's because I care for you. I want to be a good pastor. I want to be a good preacher. I want to be a clean, upright person. I want to tell you the right things. And I tell you tonight, God will move sickness out of your midst. He will move sickness out of your midst. Don't make some kind of an excuse because you've got some kind of affliction, because you've got some kind of a sickness, and say, well, I love the Lord and the Lord knows and it's so and so and whatever. Don't you do that. You say, Lord, help me. Help me to walk straight. Help me to get straight. Help me to clean up my life. Oh, God, help me to get these things out of my life. Help me to conform to the way of the Lord Jesus. Help me to understand my shortcomings. Oh, God, help me. Because I know if I obey you and I honor you, you'll move sickness out of my midst. You'll move sickness out of the midst of us. And we'll be healthy, happy, holy, godly, pure, wonderful people. That's what you need to do, folks. That's what you need to do. I see these little girls coming to the altar. I notice up at the place where John was preaching, it was really something. The little girls would go to the altar. The little boys would go to the altar. You know, God's running this thing on out. He's taking the children over the Jordan. It's that last great move of God. Even the little ones, He's stirring their hearts, getting them ready for that great day. While you're standing there and while you're thinking tonight, I want you to lift your hands up. I want you to close your eyes. And while these little ones are around the altar praying, I want you to consider. And I want you to say, Lord, why am I sick? Oh, God, why am I sick? What have I done? What am I doing? What am I failing to do, oh, God? Lord, help me to honor you. You said in your word, oh, Lord. There in the book of Exodus, you said in your word, you know, Exodus, the way of escape, you said in your word that you'd deliver me from sickness and you'd move sickness out of a mist. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me. Let's ask Jesus to do that. While you've got your hands up, I want to pray with you. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, I lift my hands up tonight. Holy hands made holy by the blood of Jesus. Knowing, dear wonderful God, that in that day, Lord, you said in that day that if we would honor you and obey you, the people, you would move sickness out of the midst of them, O God. And today you fulfill the words of your desire, the words of your promise, the words of your covenant. And you said that if we believe now that you'd move sickness out of our midst, God, and that if we do the things that please you, that our hearts wouldn't condemn us, that those hearts would believe. And with that faith, the word of your desire and the covenant would be fulfilled. And you, by faith in the righteousness and the healing atonement, that you'd move sickness out of the midst of us. Oh God, I'm asking you tonight in my heart, in my life, in my home, in the life of my wife, in the life of my loved ones, Father, in the life of my following, oh God, in the life of the people throughout the world, I'm asking you to look down, help us to believe, help us to conform to thy image, oh God, and to do thy pleasure. Move sickness out of the midst of us. Heal us, oh God. Heal the people. Bring deliverance, oh God, and heal throughout the world tonight in Jesus Christ, His lovely name. Hallelujah. Sing that little chorus, Send Us the Rain. We've been asking God to let it rain, and He's been letting it rain. Over in Memphis, it just poured down. Send us your rain, Lord. Send us your rain, Lord. Send us your latter rain. Oh, send us the rain, Lord. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us your latter rain. Oh, there's power in the rain, Lord. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in your latter rain. Oh, there's power in the rain, Lord. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in the latter rain. Sing it again. Oh, we want your rain, Lord. We want the rain, Lord. We want your latter rain.
We want the rain, Lord. We want the rain, Lord. We want your latter rain. Oh, send us the rain, Lord. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us your latter rain. Sing it with me. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us your latter rain. Sing it again. Well, we want your rain, Lord. We want your rain, Lord. We want your latter rain. We want the rain, Lord. We want the rain, Lord. We want your latter rain. Oh, your glory's in the rain, Lord. Your glory's in the rain, Lord. Glory in your latter rain. Oh, your glory's in your rain, Lord. Your glory's in your rain, Lord. Glory in your latter rain. Sing it now. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us your latter rain. Oh, we want that rain, Lord. We want that rain, Lord. We want your latter rain. Oh, there's power in the rain, Lord. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in that latter rain. Oh, there's power in the rain, Lord. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in that latter rain. One more time. We want your rain, Lord. We want your rain, Lord. We want your latter rain. Oh, there's power in the rain, Lord. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in your latter rain. Somebody say hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Glory to God, hallelujah. It's so good to feel the wonderful love of Jesus. All right. Let's one more time lift our hands up together. You know, I love to worship the Lord. I just love to worship Jesus. I just love to worship Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I love to preach the Word of God to people that are hungry. While you've got your hands lifted up and your eyes closed, I want to ask Jimmy to come up and pray the closing prayer, if he will. And while Brother Jim comes to pray tonight, I want you to think on these things now. Think on these things that I told you. Don't let them slip. The Bible said, give the more earnest heed to these things, lest at any time you should let them slip. Remember, the devil's got a trap for you. And God reveals it to the preacher a lot of times, so that you can escape. God said unto Joseph, take the child and go down into Egypt, for the devil will seek his life, for they will seek the young child's life. And because he was obedient, because he listened, then he escaped. A lot of times God will give us visions, He'll give us dreams, He'll give us understanding, so that we can see the error of our ways. Sicknesses comes upon us. The Bible said, if you honor me, I'll move the sickness out of the midst of you. He said, if there be evil that comes upon you, He said, if you'll pray and you'll repent, He said, God will immediately change it for you. But if we be careless, if we be contrary, if we try to prove our point, if we're going to do it anyway, then that means we've got sorrow, we've got heartaches, and trouble's coming. Do it if you want to, but it's coming. After it comes, ain't nothing I can do about it. Ain't nothing God can do about it. It's already done then. You have to pay for it. That's it. That's the sorrow. That's the heartache. But if you listen before, you don't go down like a fool and have the dart strike through your liver. Take the warning. I trust you'll warn me if you see something. I trust that you'll tell me, and I'm always talking to God, asking Him to tell me. Lord, make me to understand. Make me to understand about my children. Make me to understand about my loved ones. Make me to understand about my people. And oh Lord, deliver me and my people, and my loved ones, my children. I pray all the time. You know, Job, he prayed for his children. I get up over in the morning, and 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'll be tired, and I want to lay there. And I think, oh no, Lord, I can't. What about Cynthia? Oh God, what will happen to Cynthia? If I don't pray, what's going to happen to my Gracie?
What's going to happen to my Danny, my Joe, my David, all the other daughters and sons? And I said, Lord, what's going to happen to little Bethlehem? And what's going to happen to the finance? What's going to happen to Brother Gary? And what's going to happen to Jimmy? And what's going to happen to Vince? What's going to happen to Jerry? What's going to happen to Frank? What's going to happen to my brethren? If I don't pray, God, what's going to happen? Well, I can pray for myself. Well, that's fine. Good. I hope you can. I trust that you will. When you have spare time, pray for me too. But I ask, what's going to happen? Oh, God, what's going to happen? What will happen to these brothers, sisters? What will happen to their children? What will happen to my little people? What will happen to my little girls and my little boys here at Bethlehem? What will happen, oh, Lord, if I don't pray? All right, as Brother Jim comes to pray with you, think on these things now. When it's well with you, as Joseph said, you remember me and you pray for me.